speaker for this evening, Tommy from San Diego.
Wow. Good evening, Tommy, alcoholic.
Tommy.
Drug maker, drug taker, shot out, tore up, you name it. I was there and no longer there. Thank you for having me here tonight for the old comers. Thank you for laying down the groundwork for us. For the newcomers, keep traveling that road. So my life started out pretty well. I'm a fifth-generation commercial tuna fisherman. We work hard, play hard, and sooner or later it catches up to you. It is not an easy road to get to where we got, but by the grace of God, we can get to where we're at. It's pretty simple once you lay it down like that. 1990, I was arrested, thrown in prison. I did 10 years straight before I hit the gate. When I got out, I was lost, confused, didn't know where I was going. So I went, I knew that I was a drug addict, so I went and crawled into a bottle. Now here's the funny part, when I look back at it, I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired that I was so sick that I had scabs on my knees from kneeling on the floor and puking. I had burned the esophagus out of my throat and the skin off my lips because of the acid in my stomach. So I was pretty sick. So when I finally got around to pulling my head out of my butt, I ended up at a place called the Freedom Ranch. And I rolled in there with a brand spanking new hefty garbage bag with a bunch of shitty smelly clothes. And I thought I was the king shit right there, man. I'm going to get better. And they told me I had to come back. Because I had to wait. I said, man, you can't send me back down that hill because I'm going to die. I said, no, you got to wait. So I'm not waiting. And I started to unroll a duffel bag right there. I said, what are you doing? I said, I'll wait. I'm a lifetime special parolee, meaning if I screw up, I go back. So they called the sheriff. Sheriff said, what are you doing? I said, I got to stay, man. If I don't stay, I'm going to die. He says, you can't stay here. So if I go down that hill, I'm going to die. So my dad had to come get me. My dad's an old school tuna boat captain, just like I was, man. You know, work hard, play hard. So the old man came and got me, took me back down the hill, where I started drinking again. Because I lied when I made the call. Is he still sober? Yeah, I'm still sober. Yeah, I'm not sober, you know. So I finally made it into that place called the San Diego Freedom Ranch. 114 degrees, man. That place is so hot that even the ant's ass doesn't touch the dirt. They're like this. Oh, it's going to be great. They said they got a golf course and a putting field and all that. Man, I get there. Jesus. Yeah, man. Good times. I was so sick when I got to the ranch that it took 8 days for me to get a spoon of soup into my mouth. Because it wouldn't stay. I was shaking so bad. It's pretty awesome. I didn't even want to tell you how long it took me to take a solid turd. We're not going to go there. But I still see the guy every once in a while that fed me the soup that got me to where I'm at. Part of the road and part of the journey that where I'm at. And when I was there, they told me, suit up, show up, sit down, shut up, get a book, get a sponsor, get busy, get God, get it on, read the first 164 pages in the big book. Everything you need to know is underlined in white. Do 90 and 90, 90 and 90. Next thing you know, you got a year. Boom, you're on the road to recovery. I looked at that guy and went, man, this guy is full of crap. That was a little over 10 years ago. So, kind of cool. Today, my life's pretty good. It sucks, but it sucks the best. I had two gentlemen in the room that helped me to where I'm at today. And this guy up front, I used to call him the Puerto Rican Nazi. I didn't like that guy at all. Not one bit. So I manufactured methamphetamine for a while, took a hit, went down for it, figured out that I could take the drug program and get a little time knocked off, 18 months, so it worked out pretty well. But by the grace of God, here I am. The spiritual awakening for the young, or for the newcomers, it really is true, because when I heard somebody talking about it, I was back there going, man, this guy, he's just crazy. There's no way that this is going to work. So I want to tell you a little story. I was being transferred to Leavenworth Penitentiary. I'm a violent registered offender with the federal government. I wasn't a nice guy. People used to cross the street to get away from me. Believe it or not, they cross the street to shake my hand now. It's pretty funny. Guys that have known me forever just crack up. I was on my way to Leavenworth because I kind of messed up. And I was sitting in a holding cell. And there's been a couple of times in my life when I've had a spiritual awakening, but we blew them off because I got stainless steel for a brain. You know what I mean? I got that brick wall. I mean, stainless steel for a brain, and none of this happens. So I was in a holding cell, and the holding cell had 30 men, and they all went to lunch, and I wasn't going to lunch. I just stayed in my bunk, and it was way over in the corner in the bottom, because at that time I was 280 with an attitude, 280 pounds with an attitude, and I was a big old pecker wood coming out of San Diego, and that's just the way we rolled in there. And I grabbed that rack back there, and all of a sudden I was sleeping, and I felt hands come down on me and wake me up. I had hands come down and wake me up. And when I woke up out of this dozing in and out, I looked down and there was no one around except for an old man coming out of the bathroom. He came out of the bathroom and he had his pants down around his ankles and he was clutching his heart and he dropped. And I thought, screw him. Another guy dies in prison. Who cares? I heard a voice say, get up and help this man. There ain't nobody here but me. I get up and I go over and I'm working on this guy. Now, you got to picture this. I'm in a high security level prison. Guy's on the floor with his pants down around his ankles and I'm on top of him. Giving him mouth to mouth and starting him up. Just then this guy walks in a monkey suit, and I turn and look, and I go, hey, I know you guys all think we're pieces of crap, but you want to get me some help before this man dies? Nobody deserves to die in prison. The guy gets on the radio, he says, Warden Cohen, the health services, I'm hitting a body alarm, and I'm like, great, I just called the warden an asshole. This is getting better by the minute. So that was like the second big spiritual awakening, because the man that I had started his heart back up happened to be a state senator out of Utah who was doing time for tax evasion, is what they said. So I never did really make it into Leavenworth. They kind of flipped me back into California when they pulled me in. They said, where do you want to go? I said, send me anywhere west of the Rockies. Don't send me east, because those mountains cast a big shadow. I was a long-haired white peckerwood out of Dago, and I really didn't want to go to the East Coast. It wasn't too healthy for guys like us at that time. Some of you are shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. It's kind of cool. Prison's a lot of things, but it ain't cool, you know. So when I got out and I started drinking, and I drank myself into the gutter, literally into the gutter, I did the whole thing, man. I was homeless. Pissed myself, crapped all over myself. Down in OB, you know, God rest his soul, ho dad, used to feed me in the back alley. He'd come out and give me a burger and stuff. He'd go, here, fish man, have something to eat. You know, just give me a bottle, man, I'll be okay. I was just shot out and tore up. So there is a path and there is hope. And to share all of that with you in one night would be crazy, because it just doesn't work. So we're going to be bouncing around. So by the grace of God, I'm here to tell you a few things about my life that are continuing today. Maybe that can give you some hope for the newcomers that are here and for the oldcomers. Again, bless you all and thank you for paving the road for us coming up behind you. You guys are awesome. Most of you anyways. Some of you are a little weird. But everybody that has known me, they say, oh man, you're doing so well. You know, your life is so good. And Say, am I 100%? No. Do I want to be 100%? Hell no. Have you met people that are 100%? I don't want to be like that. You know, it's not the kind of person I want to be. But by the grace of God, I made it out. And I substituted my addiction of alcohol and drugs for work. Today I rolled into work at 3:30. I run a big seafood company here in San Diego. And like I said, people used to cross the street to get away from me. And now they cross the street to shake my hand. You can read the stories about me on the internet and stuff. It's pretty funny. It seriously is. But there's a reason why I'm still here today, and it's not for me to ask who or why or what, but it's becoming clearer and clearer because I'm taking care of my two elderly parents right now. And at 54 years old, this is the best part. You guys are going to crack up. I got a great job. I really do. I'm driving a truck that's got 200,000 miles on it. Who cares? I live in a garage at Mom and Dad's. I got green AstroTurf for carpet. I'm not kidding you, I really do. It's awesome. Okay, it's out at the end of the point and it's overlooking the ocean, but I'm still in the garage, you know. And my buddies come by and they're just like, dude, you still live at home? Yeah, with Mom and Dad. I'm like Joe Dirt, you know. Yeah. Yeah, right. I don't have any big old rebel flag, and I don't drive a duster with a hang 10 gas pedal on it, but, you know. The obsession to drink and use alcohol for me has been lifted by the spiritual awakening. I go to these dinners. It's crazy, man. I go to these fancy-ass dinners where you get three or four wineries there, and, you know, ticket prices are outrageous, and they comp me because they think I'm something special, and they don't even know that at one time I was just a gutter drunk that pissed all over myself. It's hilarious. And so I go to these dinners, and people are pouring wine, and I'm pouring wine, and it doesn't really bother me. It has no effect. That whole thing has been lifted. And when I first heard somebody tell me that, I was like, this guy's full of crap. And it was at the ranch when I was hearing this stuff, you know. And it was always the same guy telling you. So sooner or later, you just figured the guy was just full of crap because it wasn't going to happen. So I go to these dinners, and people are funny because they go, hey, there's Gomes. Oh, I just broke my anonymity. That's my last name. I go sit by Gomes. He doesn't drink. You can have all his wine. So they do. And it's usually their wives or their girlfriends that sits next to me, and they get shit-faced, hammered, and walk off. I call them the Cinderella party because sooner or later they're going to lose a shoe. I'm just telling you how it is, you know. So, and giving back is something that if you want what I have, just take it. It's all out there for you. All you have to do is do the groundwork. They told me in the very beginning, this guy said, I can't even remember him, but I remember what he said. And he never came back to the ranch or anything. And he said, Tommy, if I gave you a dollar, and at the end of the year, if it was, I could turn it into $1,000, would you believe it? And I said, sure. He says, then work on yourself for 1 year, and your life will be 1,000 times better. I thought, man, burn me. I want my dollar. You know? And so I remember him telling me that, and I lived by that since the day I got sober. Or actually, it was a couple of weeks after that because I couldn't remember anything for the first 30 days. You know, it's pretty funny about that 30-day thing. You know, they tell you you got to be someplace for 120 days. If you're there physically for 30 days, you just got there at the 30th day because that's when your mind gets there. Your body's been there for 30 days. And then you're there for 60 days. You've actually only been there mentally for 30 days. So they're screwing you out of 30 days. And then you're out there at 120 days. You've only been there for 90 days. And you're thinking, oh, I'm going home because it's 120 days. And then like me, when you're really messed up, I ended up staying up there for like a year. Yeah. I was digging it, right? Three hots and a cot, and we had dogs and pigs, and you know, everybody was like, hey, we're going to walk down to Four Corners. I'm like, what are you, nuts, man? That's like 4.5 miles. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk down there. You're crazy. Yeah. So those are the things that got me where I'm at today, and some of the things that keep me here today, we had mentioned earlier, was giving back. I started a nonprofit. It's called Collaboration Kitchen because I started raising money for this school called the Monarch School. And things happen when we're drinking that stay with you, whether you like it or not. It always rents space in your head. And I remember being the gutter drunk that I was. I wasn't even a good one. You know, sometimes you have, I met some good gutter drunks. I wasn't even a good gutter drunk. But I would always have to step over these little kids in front of this school downtown by the railroad tracks off of Pacific Coast Highway. And I could never figure out, you little snot nose, what are you doing here? It's 5 o'clock in the morning, you're sleeping on the sidewalk. And they were all trying to get into the Monarch School because they were homeless. So I wanted to do these cooking classes. And decided to go to my boss and tell him, hey, I want to do these cooking classes. Ah, we don't have time for that. Okay. And every time I would just bug him and bug him. And then we had these consultants. I don't know about you, but I don't like consultants. Okay, because they're just expensive mouthpieces. So, and the consultant says, we're tired of hearing, okay, you can do one in 6 days. I went, nothing like being under the gun. So we put together this little dinner thing called Collaboration Kitchen 7.5 years ago. And I called every food writer that I knew, and we got them in, and we started doing this thing. And so we raise money for homeless kids, and we buy prosthetics for children who can't afford it, and we give money to other people who are in the community who we feel need to give back. And I wouldn't be able to do that today if it wasn't for the old-timers that showed me the way and the newcomers who let me know that by the grace of God, there go I. So it's pretty strange how this whole thing is coming about for me. I bounce around a lot because I'm kind of screwed up in the head, but you guys should be able to relate to that. Just saying, right? Let's keep it real. I was lucky enough that I fished all over the world on tuna seiners. And even though I've only been arrested once in the United States, they broke me off pretty good. I was arrested in Mexico twice for illegally fishing. I did time in Ecuador. I did time in Peru, all for illegally fishing. But we had the government behind us then, so we were okay. It's pretty funny because the government was behind me when I got busted for illegally fishing, but they weren't behind me when I got busted in my own country. They just kind of like threw me away, but that was all right because I'm okay today. Being sober today is definitely a learning curve. It's not even a curve. It was a way of life for me, being the drunk. The reason why I was saved, because I really shouldn't be here, boys and girls. I should have been gone a long time ago. Is becoming clearer and clearer because my parents are elderly. They're very sick. And I'm the last one to take care of them. So I believe that that was another touch from my higher power. You know, if it wasn't for the ranch, the old timers, and the newcomers, I wouldn't be here in the capacity that I am able to help my parents today. I buried my uncle today, my dad's brother. And he was a pretty cool dude, man. He was an NBA referee and chain gang for the Chargers, and he was really big in sports. And so it was a big thing for me to be able to walk my father in. He can barely walk, and I got him up, and we walked him in. It's just one of the reasons why I was saved. I mean, I really have no other answer for this, and it's not me to question it, you know. I made a comment earlier about, am I 100%? Nope. Do I want to be 100%? No. You know, I just want to keep doing what I'm doing and hopefully stay on the path that I am. I mentioned earlier that prison is a lot of things. One of them, it's not cool. So any youngsters out there that think that, you know, it's cool, trust me, man, it's not, because unless you've seen 2,500 men jump off, it gets real. And in the 90s, it was getting real. So it's not something that you want to really look forward to. So they told me that if I did the 90 and 90, 90 and 90, I'd have a year. And that year went pretty quick, you know. And I met some great people along the way, and I watched people fall along the way. So I learned to keep an eye out for those people that are struggling and ask them if they need some help. You know, you can dress them up. You guys hear all the lingos and the sayings, you know, oh, we can dress you up like a ball player, but if you don't reach out and grab the ball, you're not in the game. Well, reach out and grab the ball and get in the game. It's pretty simple. a respected part of the community is what they say now. In 2011, I was one of this is going to crack you up. Honest to God, this is funny shit right here. In 2011, I was on San Diego Magazine's top 50 mover and shakers for the city of San Diego. I got a phone call from one of my cellies. Red and white boy out of Oakland. Hey, bro, I just saw you on the internet. Look at you. I know. Can you believe this? Good things happen to people who wait. The 12 steps are up there, you know. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives become unmanageable. Well, no shit. I got scars on my knees. My throat was burned. The skin from my lips were gone. I can open mail. Remember that? Remember you didn't open your mail because you knew there was a bill in there and you didn't want to open that thing? Right? You just, I will put that over here. I was so bad that even though I had money in the bank wouldn't let me in. They wouldn't let me in, and I couldn't go through the drive-thru because I couldn't drive because I was half-bagged anyways, 24/7. So the manager would come out, I'd fill out the slip, and they'd go get me some money, and then pretty soon even that stopped. It chased me off. You know. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves would restore us to sanity. Well, I'm about three-quarters of the way there. I said, I'm not 100%, don't want to be 100%. You know, 4 and 5, boy, that was a good one, huh, Rich? Nothing like putting them on Front Street, boys and girls. I remember bringing a sack lunch, two of them. So what's this for? It's, well, we're going to be a while. I just had breakfast. We're going to be a while. Hang out a little bit, you know. And then we get down to the big one, number 12 for me, was having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We tried to carry the message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs, and I stumble on principles on all our affairs. Because over here, tell us that we're not supposed to talk about it on TV and in newspapers and in magazines and all that stuff. But I did a commercial for Mutual of Omaha. It's called the aha moment, where I just blabbled everything out and just broke down like a withering pump first night in a joint, you know. And it's all over the internet, and these people are calling me up from all over the country. And, oh, my God, your story is so moving. What are you talking about? I'm a shot-out alcoholic drug addict, ex-con, no good, rotten SOB. I put a gun in your face. Take your wife's wedding ring. I didn't care, you know. That's who I was. That's not who I am today. Today I'm that guy that can't say no. People go, hey man, I need some. Okay, no problem, bro. We'll get it. I got a PR girl now, right? So people ask me, you know, hey, can you do this benefit? Or you can, I don't know. You got to go talk to Rebecca and put it on calendar. Put it on. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. They have this giant wall at work that's all filled in with stuff that I got to do. So it's kind of cool giving back. With the obsession lifted and a clear conscious mind, you can sure spot the BS a mile away, huh? But I'm not feeding you any of it tonight. I mean, this is how I lived. This is how I got here, you know. And this is what I'm doing today. But I notice that in business, I leave all of March. I have trade shows, and I've got to be out of town. And I've got good friends that are going to be able to take care of my parents for me while I'm gone, because if I was still drinking, I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't even be here, to be honest with you. I really wouldn't. But I got to be in Boston. I leave for March 6th. It's the biggest seafood convention in the world. And there's after parties. And you know what? There's AA meetings, too, in Boston. And one of the coolest ones that I went to was in this basement of this old church. It was next door to Salvation Army, downtown Boston. And walking into that basement, it smelled. And it was musty. And it was gnarly. And here was the boy from San Diego with all these Bostonians. And it was pretty cool. And when they found out what I was there for, you know, and, oh, we'd like to go to that. And I'm thinking, I got a bunch of tickets in my pocket, and so I'm going to pass these out. And it was pretty cool because I ran into a couple of them there. And we're still friends today. It's amazing that AA has got to be the biggest gang there is. I mean, you never know. You never really know who's a friend of Bill. But there's always a little something, you know. If somebody leaves and then you meet them again, you always pipe up and go, you a friend of Bill's? And go, yeah, I am. And then all of a sudden, it's like a long-lost high school buddy. It's pretty weird, right? I mean, I'm looking around, everybody's shaking their heads going, yeah, man, it's pretty cool. It is cool. Prison's not cool, but this is kind of cool. So the young newcomers, listen to this. 54 years old, shot out, man. I am shot out. And it's not the years, it's the miles, trust me. Okay? They are bad. Not all of them. Some were pretty good, but most of them were pretty bad miles. You know? So if you want what I got, and if you want what some of these old-timers got, you just take it. Take the book. Open it up. Take the sponsor that walks up and wants to help you. And get in the game. You took shit to get here. Now take shit to stay here. You know? What else do I want to talk about? I don't know. I could be here all night, but you don't want to listen to me all night. Because it's a great story. So when I was locked up, I told you I bounce around a lot, you know. It's kind of like nobody reads the big book from the front to the back. Everybody bounces around. You just don't tell your sponsor that. Because then you get in trouble. Then they make you read it to them. 2-3 times a week, we're going to get together, and me and you are going to read the big book together, page by page. Yeah, right. Okay. Some of the things that we, when I was locked up at, I was at FCI Phoenix, and I started a program there. You know, there are all these female programs for their kids. You know, you could visit your kids, and you can play with your kids in this special room. And I started a parenting program for the male inmates because there wasn't one there. And this parenting program is now was mandated at that time by Janet Reno, the Attorney General, and is now nationwide and still in effect today. And I've met guys that have come up to me and say, hey, you're the guy that did the parenting program and allowed me visiting for my kids. But this was, I mean, I was sober when I was in, because you can get everything you want in prison except for out. I mean, seriously, you can get anything you want, but out. They'll let you out, maybe, you know. So the parenting program, I met this guy right off the street. I'm having dinner at a sidewalk cafe downtown, and he walks up and he says, I don't know you, I haven't met you, but I know who you are. You're the guy who allowed me the visiting with my kids. And that was pretty cool. So since I've been sober, there's been all these weird little things coming at you. And you don't really understand what's going on, and you don't really flash on it until later. So I'm probably going to get a little teary-eyed here, okay? So if anybody done any time, it's not like I'm some punk or something. It just kind of gets to me. So I got this autistic kid that works for me. Out of the blue, he came in. He says, I want to work and cut fish. Man, I didn't know the laws. I'm not really one to follow the rules. The rules are made for people who can't follow directions, and I don't like either one of them because it's my floor. So I get this autistic kid, and he's working for me in a fish market with big knives. And he's been with me for over a year. And then I met a woman who had an autistic kid, and we're still together today. A friend of mine had an autistic son. And pay attention, because this is definitely higher power working and picking me out because of who I am and where I'm at today, because of the old timers who paved the road, and the newcomers, by the grace of God, there go I. So a friend of mine's son was going to Cal Poly University Computer Science and Engineering, and he was autistic as well. And he had a brain aneurysm, and he died. You following the force here? Okay. He had a brain aneurysm, and the kid died. My buddy Paul gets on Facebook, everybody's on it, and says, I lost my beloved son. If anybody knows anybody who's on the list for organs, please let me know. Well, I got the Puerto Rican Nazi looking for one. And the funny thing about that guy is I loaned him the money to get his new Mercedes, and I know that he was running up his credit cards and everything because he was already checking out because he wasn't going to make it. So he ran up credit cards and got the Mercedes and all of that stuff, and guess what? George hooked up with this father. They never met. We'll get to that part. George hooked up with the father. He was 100% match. Within 12 hours, they changed his fuel filter, and he got a new one. And he's still here. Bastard. Yeah. So these are the things that are happening in my life today. Now, even after the operation, George never met Paul and Susan, the parents. So I have a educational seafood nutritional center is what I call it. It's a fancy word for a retail fish market. It's built inside this huge wholesale division. And one day George came in, and he had just gotten the operation, and I said, hey, man, let me cook you a piece of fish. I got this funky little kitchen over here where I do TV shows and all that stuff. So we were cooking him a piece of fish. I said, I'll be right back. And I came around the corner, and the mother and father were coming up the stairs. They'd never met. This wasn't planned. And it just so happened that their first meeting by chance was on the floor of the Educational Seafood Nutritional Center retail shop. Yeah. And everybody that was there knew the story. But they didn't know all the players. But everybody that was there felt what was going on. And what was going on was not of this world. It was definitely a higher power that had come and graced us with this moment. But these things wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the fellowship of AA and the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the old timers that paved the road, even you crazy bastards, you know, and the newcomers that are coming up. So for the newcomers, if you have any doubt, don't give up. Because you already gave up once and you let drugs and alcohol take over your life. Invest in yourself, they said, Tommy. Invest in yourself. Take this dollar, we'll make it $1,000. Invest in yourself, we'll make your life 1,000% better. It is 1,000% better. I'm not 100%. Don't want to be 100%. Don't care to be 100%. I'm okay. You know? I don't even know where to go with it. Next month, I got to be in Disneyland with some dude from Guy Fieri, that dude who ruined food. I got to do some shows with him. I don't even like the guy, man. I don't like that kind of food, you know. I like a 90-day dry-aged steak, you know. I don't want no vegetables. I don't want a potato. I just want the 40-ounce porterhouse dry-aged steak. Glass of soda water, squeeze some lime in there. I'm cool. I don't need anybody bothering me or anything. I just want that. Those are the things that are going on now. It's kind of weird. I always got a bowling shirt on. My nicest shirts. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done. All my nice shirts got stupid company logo on it. So no matter where I go, if I got to dress up, I either got to go to the store and buy something cheap and sleazy, or I got to grab a bowling shirt that's got the company logo on it. I'm like a walking billboard, I swear to God. I got a couple minutes left. The ideas that we have in our head can be put down on paper and make work. The ideas that we have in our head can be put down on paper and make work. Because when I was tweaking, I had all kinds of great ideas. I did 18 months in solitary confinement. The only thing that I had to read was a Spanish Bible. No habla. I'm a white guy, man. I don't get it. When I started working at this fish company, I saw something that was being thrown away. And it was costing the company $63,000 a year to throw this product away. And I took that product and I went into my boss and I said, hey, I got this crazy idea, man. I'm going to make a fish bait out of this. And I need $500 to start. And he loaned me the $500 thinking that I'd probably just split and he'd never see me again. Well, I came up with this little product called Uni Butter. It's a scent attractant. I'm in 540 stores across the country, and me and my buddy still bottle it in a garage. It's pretty cool. But I took the shells from this stuff, and I washed it in a solution, sea urchin. It's made from sea urchin. I took the shells from this stuff, and I washed it in this special solution, water. Right? Yeah. I ain't even got a high school diploma. I got a GED. Yeah, pretty good. And I was able to develop a pothole filler out of the shells and the spines by mixing a petroleum agent because, hey, man, I made really good dope. Prope dope back in the day. And that diesel crap nowadays. Whatever. Yeah. So, and I made this pothole filler, man, and I sold the recipe to the Department of Transportation in Washington and Oregon, and in the contract it says that they have to buy the shells from us. Yeah, so, good, yeah, you got it. Sure, man, I'll sell you the recipe, but you got to buy the shells from us and us only. So, these are the things that are going on in my life. And it can happen. It can happen for you if you don't give up on you. There are people in your life that love and care about you that you haven't even met yet. For the newcomers out there, there are people out there that love and care for you and care about you that you haven't even met yet. Do you get that? Don't deny them the opportunity to get to know you. While you get to know yourself, you're going to meet people that will love and care about you. They don't want your dope. They don't want your hookup. They don't want your girlfriend, your boyfriend. They don't want your money. They just want to be loved by you, with you, and share their life with you. Does that make sense? Because it truly did happen to me. And back in the day, nobody told me that. These are things that I found out myself. All alone, with the help of AA, all you grumpy old-timers, and the newcomers back there that are looking around wondering, what am I doing here? But the point is you're here. Your ass is in the seat. Get a book, get a sponsor, get busy, get God, get it on. Read the first 164 pages. Everything you need to know is underlined in white. Do 90, 90, 90, 90. Next thing you know, you got a year. Remember the dollar to 1,000. Invest in yourself. Good things will happen. And you know what, man? If you don't dig it, remember in the movie The Warriors, can you dig it? Come on, man. Everybody knows that part. Everybody knows that. Unless you're under 35. If you don't dig it, go back out and say hello to misery for me and everybody else, because we're digging it. And that's what they told me. Still got the scars on my knees. My throat's okay. My lips are okay. Sobriety's okay. Oh, wait. You want to know the best part? Implants, man. I can afford them now. Yeah. They're doing all that fancy stuff, man. It's cool. I ain't got to take them out no more or nothing. Worry about them cracking or anything like that. Yeah, implants. Who'd have thought I could afford that? Because I had them funky ones in the joint, you know. They didn't quite fit. And I don't even know if they took a mold, but I don't know if they were really made for me or if they were just from somebody else. Trying to keep costs down for the taxpayers, you know. Did somebody in Unicor make them for me or something like that? Yeah. But by the grace of God, I stand here today to say thank you. Thank you to the ranch, AA, the people in this room. Most of all, thanks for letting me come up here and share this. You know, and hopefully somebody got something out of it and hang out. Stu, what are you doing here, man? I see you at the hockey games all the time. I start pointing people out, put them on Front Street. What do I got? 3 minutes? I can cut short? I can do what I want because it's a speaker meeting. Seriously. Yeah, so keep doing what you're doing. Suit up and show up. I got a couple business cards, man, for the newcomers that are here. You guys want to pull me off to the side and talk about a few things, I'm all for it. Sobriety's not so bad. I got 10 years. It went quicker. My 10 years in sobriety went quicker than that 10 years I was locked up, I'll tell you that much. That 10 years went a little slow for me for a couple places. Life's not so slow anymore, you know. Not a whole lot going on anymore. At least I don't have to listen to these things buzzing in my cell and you know, stuff like that. So anyways, thank you very much. God bless you. My name's Tommy. I'm an alcoholic.